Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Legal Nurse Podcast 246, and I'm Pat Iyer. We are in our third year of broadcasting the Legal Nurse Podcast. 2 weeks ago, I started a new tradition, sharing the best of the best. I found out which shows you listen to the most, and I'm bringing them back. The podcast you're about to hear was the most downloaded interview in 2018. Joe Nugent shares tips on how to ace an interview with an attorney. Stay tuned, listen in.
Hi, welcome back. It's Kelly, back with Mr. Joe Nugent. Today's topic is how to network properly and conduct yourself before and after the interview. Welcome, Joe. Before we get started, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much, Kelly and Pat, for having me. I really appreciate it. So for me, I've been in the hospitality business for the last 17 years, and I've done operations and food and beverage and regional sales, and now I'm a director of sales and marketing. I'm also an entrepreneur, and I live in sunny Southwest Florida, and I have two amazing kids, Logan, who is 8, and Madison, who is 5. And I do a lot of networking. I've been involved with a lot of social and civic organizations and running young professionals groups and all along those lines. I have a podcast myself. So this is a topic that's really near and dear to me, and I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you for taking the time to teach us. As a life care planner and legal nurse consultant, it is part of our daily grind to be interviewed or to interact with potential new clients. So what are some of your first suggestions for us?
Well, it depends on where you want me to go with it. I mean, you know, I think when you're looking to, are you talking like in regards to interviewing?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to make sure I was on the right topic. So I think there's a lot of good tips that someone can take as they prepare for an interview. And I think the first thing they have to do is really research the company and the job. And I think that's something that I think people often overlook. They're like, they see, oh, I want to work at ABC Hospital, or, hey, this job looks like it's going to be great as a floor manager. And they're like, okay, I think I know what that is. But they really don't do their homework on the actual company that runs the day-to-day there, or really on the job requirements. So I think first and foremost, you have to really do your homework on that stuff. It's going to help you throughout the interview. The next thing that I always like to tell people, and I know this sounds like really basic, but it's something that I see all the time, is you need to dress professionally. So I can't totally speak for nurses, but I'm wondering how many people go into an interview in scrubs and versus maybe having a more, you know, business professional attire. So those two things right off the bat are something that I recommend. Like, let's go ahead and start there and get some of the basics down.
Okay, thank you. Now, most of our legal nurse consultants will be interviewing with attorneys. So what are the questions a potential employer could ask, or we should not ask a candidate about applying?
Okay, so let's start with things that an employer should not ask a candidate. You want to steer clear of anything regarding your age, the marital status, how long you plan to be there, sexual orientation, religious views. I mean, none of those are allowed in any interview, no matter what industry you're in or anything like that. And you would be surprised on interviews, the questions that some people ask to try to find out some of that information. So first and foremost, steer clear of anything along those lines. In terms of what somebody can expect, I think obviously they're going to go into your history, your qualifications, reasons that you left previous employers. And I think having some answers to those and having some just some data to back up and to be ready to answer those is going to be very beneficial for you, especially on a very first interview. It's probably going to be more high level, kind of scratch the surface type stuff. But I think a lot of those questions and qualification type questions are going to be coming your way.
Okay, thank you. That's so helpful because often legal nurse consultants do work and are looking for subcontractors. So we do play both roles as both the potential employer and as the candidate. So that was very helpful. Thanks.
My pleasure.
I guess the next question hits home for all of us. How do we control our nervousness?
So let me tell you something. This does not just pertain to interviews. I think this is just in life when you're in a situation and you're nervous. But I will tailor the answer to an interview. Nerves can get the best of us. And I think a couple things. First of all, if someone does not interview often, which by the way, that's a good thing. That means they're staying in their job for a while. So if it's not something they do all the time, they're going to be a little bit rusty. And that can cause nerves. If somebody really wants the job that's being, you know, offered and that's available, that can cause nerves as well. So one of the things that I've always done is I've really just tried to take a deep breath a few minutes before I walk in the room and get called in. And I think in the back of my head, I really try to focus on, you know, what is my motivation of getting this job? Why do I really want this job? And I think as I do those couple things, I think for me at least, it helps me kind of calm down and helps me focus on what I need to talk about. The other thing, and this is kind of, I don't really know how you teach this. It's something that kind of happens, but you need to have confidence and you exude confidence. And the one thing I would say is if someone's like, well, I'm not really a confident person, I would just say to them that you would not be sitting in that chair interviewing for that job if they didn't see potential in you. I mean, if you were like so far off the page, like, oh man, there's no way we're ever going to hire this person. Like they're awful. They're not qualified. They're not going to bring you in for an interview. So you're there for a reason. So have confidence in the fact and feel good about the fact that somebody wants you there and that they want to listen to what you have to say. Nerves can definitely get the best of us, though. There's no question. It's happened to me before.
Yes, probably all of us. So how can we impress on someone that we're interviewing with that we are the best candidate?
So one of the things that you really have to do, Kelly, is you have to figure out a way to build value throughout the interview. So what do I mean by that? Well, as you're going through and asking questions and you're answering questions from the employer about a specific opportunity, you need to really hit home on some key points. Oh, well, you're going to be managing a team of 5 people. Okay, wow, that's great because I manage a team of 6 people at my previous location. I really enjoyed it. Here was my management style. So you're kind of building value throughout. You're explaining your qualifications. You're explaining your credentials. And again, not to sound like a broken record, but you have to add that value throughout the course of that interview. It can be tough to do, but if you sell yourself in the right way, and the feedback I always get, the counter to that is, well, I'm not a salesperson. Well, but you are in some regards. And even if you don't realize you are, you're selling yourself, right? And so I just think that as you can provide answers that really help the person on the other side of that table or desk understand, okay, wow, they've been through this, or they have an idea of where we're trying to go and what we need to fill here. You're gonna build that credibility and you're gonna build that value with that person. I also think it's totally okay in the interview process when you're talking about like how do I impress them. I mean, show excitement and enthusiasm. Let people know that you're interested in this. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I don't understand the mentality that some employers have of like, okay, I need to be really reserved and I don't want to show my hand. Well, that's ridiculous. Like if I'm going in for an interview and I really want that job, I want them to know, listen, I am really excited. I know I can do a great job for you. Our ideals, our morals, our ethics, they line up perfectly. And I know that I can bring A, B, and C to the table and add value to your company or organization. So show excitement, show enthusiasm. You know, I also think that having a plan for how you're going to succeed. This can be a risky thing because you're like, well, you don't know what you don't know because you've never worked there. But if you've done something similar at a similar company in a similar position, you can always say, well, here are things I did there, and these are things that I think would be, when implemented the correct way, they could really work. So what that does is that shows and really tells the employer, okay, this person came prepared. They're obviously engaged. They obviously want this. They have a pathway to success. So again, I think that helps separate you from the rest of the pack.
All right. So no poker face.
I don't think you need a poker face. I think you need to be like, hey, listen, I really like this place. I like talking to you. I like this job. And this is something that I really want. I don't think you have to play it so close to your chest.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't think you should get like points taken off for being extroverted or for showing eager excitement. You know, I want that. I mean, the last thing I want is to hire somebody as an employee, as an employer rather. I don't want to hire somebody that's not enthused, that's not excited, that's not going to fit our culture. I want to know those things. Okay. Personality means a lot.
Yes, very true.
Marketing brings the attorney to your door. Sales enables you to bring the case through your door. Your ability as a legal nurse consultant to fine-tune your sales approach makes the difference between success and failure. I wrote a book called How to Get More Cases, Sales Secrets for Legal Nurse Consultants. In this book, you'll discover how your personality affects sales. You'll get concrete tips for how to successfully sell to attorneys. You will discover secrets of warming up cold prospects. And there's a chapter on successful sales presentations to get ready for and how to ace a meeting with an attorney who's considering hiring you to work on a case. Lastly, you'll get tips for closing the sale. This book is specifically geared to helping legal nurse consultants bring in more cases. The link for purchasing this book is http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That's all one word, creating series. And the link again is http://lnc.tips/creating-series. You can get a 25% discount when you add listened in the coupon code box at checkout.
Very true. All right, so we're moving through the interview process and we mess up. How do we gain composure and avoid losing control?
Well, and that's always a tough thing because it's kind of like the snowball at the top of the mountain. Because in our heads, we're going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. How do I walk that back? And we're not paying attention to the next question. And so then all of a sudden we stumble on that question and then things just start to unravel, right? And we've all been in situations like that. And so I think it's perfectly okay to stop and say, you know what, excuse me, I misspoke. Here's what I really meant to say. I really want to make sure I convey this to you because I don't think I conveyed it in the way that I wanted to. And I think it's okay to pause, take a quick minute, and then just let the person you're interviewing with know, listen, can we just go back to this? Because I wasn't really able to give you the full scope of what I was trying to explain to you.
So in the beginning of this interview, when I asked the very first question, because I was nervous, I should have clarified it rather than just saying yes at the very beginning when you had to clarify my first question. That would have been the best way to start. Is that
right? It worked fine either way, though.
Thanks for
We
being
got to it, right?
Well, I'm just trying to learn for others. I think that's would have been the best way was to not lose control. Start over.
Yeah.
Take a deep
And
breath.
I don't think you lost control. You did good.
Well, I felt out of control. Sorry.
Yeah, but see, exactly though. But see, but that's what happens though, is that we feel that, but the person on the other, either across the desk or on the other line, they don't know that. They may not be thinking that. So a lot of times we tell ourselves these stories, and it makes us work ourselves up even further.
Well, that, I guess that's what my point of sharing the sense of anxiety I felt with the very first question was to pause and take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be listening to it here in a minute and listening and following your advice on what I could have done different for a future situation like that. So thank you.
Sure. My pleasure.
I will certainly utilize that.
It's always good to know that something you say is actually worthwhile and can be used.
Yeah, I wish I would have known it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. So the interview's over, and what type of follow-up do you recommend?
Okay, so this is always a really funny question to me, only because you get such a wide array of answers, and the answers are split down the age of the candidate. So if you were to ask somebody that's between 21 and let's say 40 or 45, they're going to tell you, I'll send them an email. And if you talk to somebody that's 45 and up, they'll probably say, oh, you know what, I'd probably write like a little handwritten note or something like that. Now, there's also a huge demographic or a huge percentage in both demographics that would tell you, I really don't follow. I just wait for them to call me back, which is absolutely not the right thing to do. So let's go ahead and start there. Here's what not to do. Don't not follow up. I think an email in today's day and age is completely appropriate and acceptable. I think if you really want something, you want a wow factor, you want to stand out in the crowd, you write a handwritten note and you put it in the mail that day.
Good to know. Now, what if you are the person that's doing the interviewing? Because we do that for subcontractors.
Sure. So I think the biggest thing is to set the expectation. Okay, hey, thanks. I'm glad at the end of the interview, if you're interviewing somebody, to say thank them for their time, let them know what the next steps are, how long it might take, and when they can expect to hear from you or somebody else within the organization.
Okay. Yes.
But too often, like, we don't set that like, we're just like, okay, thanks. Yeah, we'll talk soon. And like, it's very vague and open-ended, and you don't really know, where it goes from there. So I think having clearly defined expectation levels of, all right, we have three other people we're interviewing, or we still have more interviews to go. We hope to wrap up by the end of the week. Within the next 7 to 10 days, someone will be in touch with you either way.
Okay. The golden.
That way they're not just on the hook.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well,
A couple other things, Kelly, real quick that I wanted to remember to talk about really fast. When we were talking about like how to prepare for the interview and kind of how to, like, you asked some questions about, well, what happens like if you get nervous, and what happens if you kind of stumble, and then how do you regroup? Some of that can all be alleviated if you have some responses prepared. If you can anticipate some of the questions that they might ask you, have some prepared responses, and it doesn't need to be a full-on written-out response. It could just be, like, have some bullet points of things that you want to make sure that you talk about. That's also, by the way, how you can build value and let them know that you're really interested in the position. And then the last thing I wanted to actually two last things. One other thing, bring your resume just in case, because sometimes – it's a hiring manager and the person that's actually interviewing you doesn't have your resume. So bring a copy of your resume so you can give it to them if need be. And then pay attention during the interview to the nonverbal communication, both yours as well as the person that's interviewing you. That can also kind of give you an idea if maybe you have an answer that's going on too long, or if you ask a question to a candidate and they really don't understand and they're kind of fumbling with it.
Oh, great point. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Well, tell our audience how we can get in touch with you for some more tips.
So one of the best ways I really is through social media. So between Facebook and Twitter, and both of my handles, I have a private entrepreneur page on Facebook. It's at the YP Mentor, and then also on Twitter at the YP Mentor. It's how you can find me. And I do a podcast every Wednesday with my buddy Brian Benson with InspireLink. So we can catch us on iTunes, or we do a Facebook Live of it as well. So if you connect with me on Facebook and everything, I'll be sure to add you, and you can catch our podcast and interact with me. You know, I mean, I love talking to people. I love doing this kind of stuff. It's really just like invigorating and fun for me. So I really, really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I'm certain the audience does too. I know I learned something this evening that I'm going to move forward with. So thank you very much. And
thank my pleasure.
You. Oh, thank you. Thank you to our audience. Don't forget to like us or subscribe and keep on sharing. That's how we grow. Enjoy and see you next week. Bye-bye.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you two online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.